Hey, hi, hello. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast, episode 256. I'm your host, Vince, and if you've been here for a while, this might seem a little familiar. If you're a video watcher, this might seem a little new. If you've been here for a minute, this might seem familiar. But also, if you just listen on podcasting services, this is nothing special. My laptop is on the fritz, and I had to bring it to the shop, and it's currently in the shop. I'm going to talk about it a little more later in the third segment, but for this episode and maybe next episode, depending on when I get my laptop back, probably not the episode after that, but for a short amount of time, these episodes are going to be just voice, just vocal. I'll have something on screen. I couldn't get into anything because of time restraints. I tried to get into all my other various things because I have my laptop that's just for the show. That's just for making the show. I write on it. I edit on it. I do all my research off of it. And I don't have that, obviously, because I'm doing this in a different way. And I don't have any of that stuff. So I couldn't get into a lot of my stuff. And I've just been super duper busy and trying to work a little extra just so I could have a little extra. And I just never had a chance to really get into it. That being said, I didn't have a lot of time to prep because I had to run to the store and get all my stuff situated. And, you know, I have personal stuff that I have to attend to. So for these next at least two episodes is going to be in this format. I apologize for that. But it's something. I didn't want to leave you guys without anything. And I thought, let me post something. So this is episode 256. I'll probably have some gameplay on screen. I'm thinking because I'm going to record this and then see how much time it is. I can write that down, and then tomorrow after work I can come home and record whatever I need to record for gameplay. I think I'll put gameplay. This will seem like a new and an old. I never really used gameplay up until recently, like this year for lore stuff, but I think I'll be using some Fallout 3 gameplay, especially because that's what today's lore is based on, and my fault. I couldn't get into anything because of time restraints and trying to figure everything out. It's. I'll talk about it at the end of the show, what happened with the computer, but I got into everything. So I could today, the day I record, Wednesday, 5/31/2023, in the year of our Lord, and I couldn't get into everything. And just, I wasn't sure what was up with the computer, and I finally did. So I had to pick the lore. I did message someone from the Patreon and say, hey, do you want to pick this week? And I never heard back. So I just went on. You know, I never even checked when I got home. If my Wi-Fi at work is awful. I didn't even check to check when I got home. Let me make sure that it went through. So welcome to this episode. I've been thinking about picking up the new Zelda. Kyle and I talked about it a little while ago on here. And I've been thinking about trying it. I'm not a huge fan of the first one. But I've been watching video of streams of Tears of the Kingdom. And I don't know. I want to try it. I feel like it might just be FOMO. It might just be that I feel like I'm missing out on a cultural touchstone of video games, of a game that's massive. And I can feel my love of games slowly creeping back. There's a bunch of stuff that I want to play. Like, I want to play this game called Dredge that a friend showed me. That's just like, you're a boat and you have to dredge shit up and go fishing and there's mutations and you go crazy. It seems like a good time. I have a list of games that I really want to try, but I think if I get one of these, I know I keep saying, I'm going to stream, but I think maybe Saturday I'll clean up this desk and maybe stream something. I'm thinking about streaming a 360 Classic, a game that I absolutely love and I've just been itching to go back and play. There's a few things I have to tweak and see about the way I'm streaming it, but I'm thinking hard about it. If you were in, not this weekend when this episode comes out, but the weekend prior, I was in the Discord just testing a few things out, trying a few things. And just, you know, it worked. I didn't do a lot. It worked. And I'd like to stream a game, like I said, a 360 Classic, one of my faves. How do you guys feel about the way Fallout has been monetized at this point? This is like a serious thing I've been thinking about. I'll go on a couple sites every now and again and look, not even just the Bethesda site, but like secondhand sites, and I'll look up like, oh, Fallout, what's going on there? Or I'll type in Vault Boy and see what's going on and like see what comes up. And it's like the original idea of the Vault Boy was that he was supposed to be based on the Monopoly Man. He was supposed to be a critique of capitalism, which all of Fallout was supposed to be. And now it's like the number one thing that they market. And I see all the time, like, people posting collections and people posting hauls of what they got from it, and it just kind of feels a little tone deaf in a way. When there's like certain things that are up that are like incredibly expensive just because it has the Vault Boy's face on it. And it's just something that I think about a lot, because I think that like with any collectible, with anything that has some sort of a value because of a fan base, there is a secondary market. I love Godzilla. Godzilla stuff's secondary market is egregious. It's so like, it's so heavily overpriced, right? So it's just like, oh, here's a figure that came out a year ago for $30. It is now $90. Super 7 makes these great figures, and I really want a couple of them, but I don't want to take them out of the box. But I feel like I might have to. And it's just like, it's one of those things where I'm looking at my shelf right now as I record, and I'm looking at all these little Vault Boys. And part of me can sit here and be like, well, that's the point. Like, it's almost meta the way you buy into it. Like, you have all of these figures, you have all of these accessories, these t-shirts with this logo on it, with this character on it, who represents just a commodification of entertainment, really. I mean, the Monopoly Man is supposed to be a play on the times, supposed to be a play on like an autocracy of an aristocrat of the very inspired by the 20s. I don't know offhand when Monopoly came out, but and then it's just on everything. It's their number one selling feature. It's, you know, I've said on here before, blue and yellow makes me think differently. I went to a school that was their colors, and it was an awful school. And then I find Fallout. It's the same colors, and it's great, and I love it. And part of me wants to think, oh, this is like a meta. I'm super into this, and I'm going to buy. I want to get a Vault Boy tattoo. I want to do all this stuff here. And then, like, it's also the themes of the game is capitalism bad, and here I am with capitalism on a shelf. And I just want to know if anybody who collects thinks like this, if anybody else has an idea like this. Some of the stuff I have is super dope, don't get me wrong, I'm gonna keep collecting. No way in hell am I ever gonna stop collecting, especially when it's something like this that I love. But I just want to know what you guys are thinking. So please leave a comment in the comments below if how you feel about collecting something that is so heavily supposed to mock the idea of collecting, the idea of having excess, the idea of having more than what you need, the idea of greed. Let me get into the lore. Before I get into the lore, I need to thank the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, I can make the show bigger and better. And because of the Patreon, I can pay to have my laptop fixed. The laptop's going to get paid pretty much exclusively by Patreon. Because of you guys. There's some other stuff I bought recently. One of the things I want to try using maybe this weekend has been purchased because of the Patreon. But this is something that my laptop being fixed is going to be helped tremendously because of the Patreon. So I have to thank some people. And starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you, Mellow Millhouse. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. And remember, in the Patreon, there is the Film Live Before a Studio Audience tier. For $10 a month, you get to hear these episodes be recorded live in front of a studio audience. You are the studio audience. But again, thank you. I love you very much. And now let's get into this week's lore. Like I said, I wasn't sure what this week's lore was going to be because I had a hard time getting into everything due to time constraints and the headache that is trying to get my computer to work on my own before I have to take it to a professional. And I reached out. No one ever got back to me. But I said, you know what? Let me do this. I knew I was going to use gameplay footage for the entirety of the episode. So why not go to a game that I'm going to use, right? I'm going to play Fallout 3 because today's lore comes from Fallout 3. And I thought, what's a fun location that I could explore? What's a fun location I can explore? And I thought something that would have a lot of combat, maybe some environmental stuff I can show off, maybe something that's a little more linear that I don't have to kind of run around. I don't have to like go, oh, I have to go back and go here. And I thought to myself, Evergreen Mills is just a location in Fallout that has constantly stood out to me. Just constantly stood out to me. So I thought, you know what? Why not? Why not Evergreen Mill? So today's lore comes to us by me, but usually by way of the Patreon. Again, my own mishaps, and I apologize. But if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, usually I'll ask a question, a poll, in the Patreon, and whatever gets the most votes in the poll gets to be chosen for this week's lore. So even at the $1 tier in the Patreon, your voice gets to be heard, and this week's lore, by way of me this time, comes to us about Evergreen Mills in Fallout 3. Now, in the southwestern part of the Capital Wasteland in the year 2277 is an old factory filled with raiders and a sole merchant with powerful weaponry and absolutely no allegiance to anyone that isn't himself. Playing Fallout 3 as a kid, I had a friend, an Xbox 360, an Xbox Live friend. I don't know how I met him. I do not believe he was friends with any of my friends, but I remember him explicitly telling me about this place and like getting into parties to talk to him about Fallout 3 and about this weapon, this and Lincoln's Repeater, that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, what this merchant has to offer. This weapon is one of my favorite. It was actually... It's a shotgun. It's a combat shotgun. But I remember seeing it in the trailers for Fallout 4 and being so excited that it was back. Now, the area that is Evergreen Mills is in a valley. There's mountains around it, there's hills around it, and then it's inside of a valley, but it also has a train station, a train system that it can take freight in and get rid of freight. You can enter Evergreen Mills either by descending from one of the surrounding areas, the surrounding mountains, or you can follow these train tracks to get yourself into Evergreen Mills. The exterior of it has a slave pen. Much like most raiders, they're slaving to some degree, and has at least 16 raiders that patrol the front, the exterior of this base, and a super mutant behemoth. Just a big super mutant behemoth. I believe Fallout 3 has 70 super mutant behemoths, and I kind of like that a lot more than what they did in 4, where just super mutant behemoths show up. I like it quite a bit that it's just, here is one of seven. They have it, and he's inside of an electrical pen, and he can't get out by his own accord. There's numerous traps and tripwires and mines that riddle the base, just to make sure that anybody who's not supposed to be there isn't there. There's a northwest shack. It's a guardhouse and has a key to the slave pen in it. You could also pick the lock, but there is a key available. The northern shack has a workbench. There's also a southern shack that has a U.S. Army 30 handy flamethrower recipes and some weapons and ammo inside of it, along with the super mutant who's there. And all of the raiders that I said prior. It's a really fun... I remember the first time I came upon Evergreen Mills. I just remember being swamped, just assaulted, ambushed by constant raider fire. And then going inside, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, and finding even more raiders and shit to do inside. So the interior of Evergreen Mills, there's a main room that is a foundry. Now, a foundry is a forge, a workshop, mainly for casting metal. And it's never said explicitly, at least on the wiki, and I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, it never says explicitly on the wiki that this was a foundry used for smelting or making ammo or doing this or that. It just says a foundry, and Google defines a foundry as a workshop or factory for casting metal. Could have been an auto body shop. Probably wasn't. Could have been something for trains. That's kind of where my head was at, thinking, okay, well, they have the rail system, they have this, they have that, probably for the train. It has safes and gun cabinets, chems, and other consumables for the player character to find inside. And not only does it have this foundry area, but it also has a brothel. A brothel for proselytizing. For sex. It has a bazaar, which is a great word. It is a massive sprawling cave system with about 10 heavily armed raiders inside of the bazaar. And on the right-hand side of the bazaar is a man named Smiling Jack, a character who I kind of hold some sort of nostalgia for. A man who just, I knew he was a purveyor of things, a man who if I needed something, he had it. along with the Barter bobblehead, can also be found into this part of Evergreen Mills. Now, Smiling Jack, because I'm never going to get another chance to talk about Smiling Jack, I want to talk about him right here, right now. He is not a Raider, and he sells and upkeeps Raiders' weapons and armors. He's someone who has found a way to survive and be protected using his skill. And if Fallout 3 does nothing else, it lets your mind do a lot of the work. It lets your mind kind of wander and you can put things together. And that's what I like so much about Fallout 3 is their environmental, it's the environmental storytelling of it and how the game throws so many things at you and you piece them together. Smiling Jack is not a Raider, not hostile towards you. You can shoot every single Raider in the face in front of him. And not only does he not get PTSD from it, he also doesn't care. He will sell to you. Even if you kill all the Raiders, he'll still bring up that Raiders are coming up to him and bothering him. But there's none left. He's a man who said, I know how to do this. I can get things. I can fix things. I can make things. More importantly, I can sell things. And because of this, he found a way for the Raiders to accept him, and now he has protection. From the Fallout 3 official game guide, I have a quote here. It says, Smiling Jack, a master of trade and barter. Jack is also a jovial sort, and not just because he set up shop next to the Raider strip club. He mends the Raider's equipment, which keeps him busy and available to continue modifications on his pride and joy, a devastating shotgun that brings out a bit of fun. The terrible shotgun. One of my, if not my, favorite weapon in all of Fallout 3. This, the Zulong rifle, is up there. The Infiltrator, the Metal Blaster. Very, very, very near and dear weapons to me. Fox's Super Sludge. Like, I love the terrible shotgun. This is the guy that I was talking about earlier that when I would play on 360, he would... I would talk to him and he would tell me how to get the things that the weapons that I needed and like what to do and everything. I have no clue what happened to that dude. Hope he's okay. Hope he's alive. Like I said, I think he was like a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. But he has, Smiling Jack has the terrible shotgun. And in Fallout 4, it comes back as terrible shotgun in French. Les terribles. My French is atrocious and I apologize. But it's just something that, like, they made the plasma rifle toys. They're like full size figures that you could own. And I always wanted them to make a laser rifle. I would have bought the laser rifle, but I really wanted them to make a combat shotgun. That's one of my favorite. Just, I love the way it looks. I love that gun. Now, the way you get the terrible shotgun is you have to kill Smiling Jack for it. And if you kill him, you get his vendor key, you get a ton of caps, his gun, a bunch of consumables, a bunch of chems, a bunch of fun stuff that's going to make your playthrough even better, a little easier, but you get rid of a purveyor of things. Now, the Raiders here can spawn back. They can spawn back. It's not all of them, and the Super Mutant Behemoth never does, but if you go away for an amount of time and come back, some of them will respawn. Some notes for you that I get, again, off of fallout.fandom.com is the Super Mutant Behemoth can be freed and kills everyone, so you don't have to, but you will then need to kill the Behemoth. I was streaming Fallout 3, I don't know if it was this year or not. If it wasn't, it was last year, and it was Framke Grundlechew, that's who I was playing. That's a real name that my brain invented with the help of the chat, and I remember getting to Evergreen Mills with her. And I had a sniper, and I just remember taking out the little generator box, and the Super Behemoth comes out and just messes up everybody. Then you have to kill him, which isn't super hard, because he doesn't have any armor or a big weapon. He just has fists. And I remember that was the thing I did the first time. I got there, and I was shooting Raiders, and I saw that, because the electrical box, because there was a Raider there. And for some reason, I never saw the Behemoth. And I shot the box, because the Raider was next to it, did a little of explosion damage, and then out comes a Behemoth just swinging. Some Raiders and freed slaves can unlock the gate that holds the Behemoth as well. So if you free the slaves, if you sneak around, free the slaves, you're just taking out Raiders one by one, and they're like, oh no, we're under attack. They can free the Behemoth in an attempt to kill you. if you free the slaves that are there, they can say, what's the point? And we'd only die out there in the wastes, which made me think of how many people, much like Smiling Jack, are using their the opportunities they've been given in front of them for their advantage, even if it puts them at a detriment. How many people are saying, well, I'm not safe here, but I'm safe here because I'm eating. Like, they're slaves, but they're still going to feed them because you have to feed your slaves. You have nothing to sell. So what do? And it just made me think about how there's different ways to use the people around you for your own advantage. And maybe you could escape at some point, but maybe you just live the rest of your life in captivity. Shrapnel may venture to Evergreen Mills looking for Flack, who's a former slaver, and because Shrapnel is marked as an essential, he will wipe out everyone, including the behemoth, if he goes to Evergreen Mills. So there's a quest where you can enslave Flack, and he goes looking for his friend. Shrapnel goes looking for his friend, and because it's a group of raiders, it's heavily implied. On the wiki, it says that Flack was a former slaver, but it's heavily implied that if you're a slaver, you're a pretty ruthless raider. They would have known about Evergreen Mills. And in one of my favorite little notes that I read is, after the Take It Back quest, and if you have Broken Steel installed, an ambush of Aqua Pura can be found on the path to the foundry. It will have a sign that says free water, and when it is approached, raiders will attack you. I really appreciate Evergreen Mills. Like I said multiple times during this, it's one of the few times that I remember being super duper surprised. There is a ton of times in Fallout 3 I remember being surprised, or like the FU door. I remember laughing really hard at that. But this is a time where it was just an onslaught that just happened all at once. And then the behemoth shows up to swing. It's a location that I think about fondly. I just remember it so vividly. I wish there was a little more storytelling there. I wish there were some terminals where you could find out what the area was about more in depth. But it's the most Fallout 3 location of all time. Like, it is what it is. It serves its purpose. It's a fun little vignette. You get in, you get out. But that, my friends, is all I have for this week's lore. Hey, gang. Welcome to segment 3 of Atomic Radio Hour. Like I said, this was an episode that just everything that could have went wrong, knock on wood, everything that went wrong with me recording and getting into all of my files and stuff went wrong. And I just, you know, my laptop that I record and edit and write on, its fan had been gone for a while, and I never really noticed it up until about 2-4 months ago. And I was like, I really got to take care of this. And then all of a sudden, I was going through some footage of a project I wanted to work on, and it would just shut down. Like, I use DaVinci Resolve 17, I think it is. It's free. It's up in, like, I think even the paid version is $300, and without the paid version, you could edit up to, like, 4K. It's ridiculously good. And the paid version is, like, $300, and there's a few extra things you get. There's like a $30,000 version that is for studios, and they edited Godzilla King of the Monsters from 2018 or 19 on it. And I love that movie, and it just made me happy that I used that software. Anyway, it just wouldn't work. The software just wouldn't load. And I said, all right. So I took it to the computer place that's not far from me. And the guy's like, let me just blow it with air and see if that changes anything. And I was like, yeah, go ahead. And he blew it with air, and it didn't change anything. He's like, all right, so I'm paying a lot in labor, but I assumed that was going to happen. Like, I just assumed, like, you know, you go get your toilet fixed. The price of the toilet and the wax ring and the fittings and everything else is probably about half or a quarter of what the labor costs, because you're paying for someone's expertise. I'm paying for someone to fix it. They're also giving me a warranty in case something doesn't work after they fix it, and it's taken care of. So and they're also going to add cooling. What did he say? I guess like thermal paste. I guess they're going to add more thermal paste to it and everything to make sure that it's tip top. So it is what it is, and it ain't what it used to be. It's a lot of money that I got to pay, but it's better than having to buy a $1,200 editing rig, which I guess is the next move. I guess the next move is to, like, you buy a laptop, and the guy told me rule of thumb is about $100 for, or $100 equals every year you're going to get out of a machine. And I have to just, you know, buy an editing machine. There's a lot of things I'd like to do with an editing machine. I'm thinking about getting one that's a little more pricey. I'm probably going to build it myself. But if I build it myself, what I really like to do is start making music again, grab my MPC, download all that software and have it here. I just haven't been in the mood, but I thought, you know what, if I'm going to have this like nice ass computer, I might as well maybe use that to become a dedicated stream machine and just have my PC as just my, you know, my knockabout thing. Maybe like play Fallout on it, watch YouTube, check social medias, emails, buy things. And I have that, and it does its job. Like, I can't say it doesn't, but then I'll have something to edit on and work on and do stuff with. And, you know, it's just, it's a big investment, man. It's a lot of saving I got to do. It's a lot of, a lot of trips I can't take, which sucks, but you know, it is what it is. And it ain't what it used to be. I'm planning on doing a big trip for my birthday. So November of 2024, I'm thinking that's next year. I'm thinking about doing a big trip. I'll talk about that more when it happens, but I have to wait for the tickets to become available in the next few months. I want to buy my ticket. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be one that I've been looking forward to since I was a very little boy, but we could talk about it when the date gets closer. I just, you know, it stinks that this whole thing has happened with my laptop, but I'll probably get another 2-3 years out of it, and I'm super, super happy with that. Any investment you make is the best type of investment you can make is in yourself. And I bought that laptop for the show, so I could buy an editing rig for the show. But that's really all I have for you this week. Sorry, it's a shorter one. Sorry, there's no me. Sorry, it's just gameplay footage. I hope you've enjoyed. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. You can get a link to all of his stuff at silvermansounds.com/freemusic. My song is called Feather Duster, but he's got a ton of heat on his website. In the description, there's a link to my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, and the show's Twitter. There's also a link to the Patreon. Thank you again to the Patreon. If you'd like to support any way whatsoever, please feel free to give it a look-see. From the $1 to the $10 tier, your voice is heard on this program. And at the $10 tier, you get to hear these episodes get recorded live. There's also Redbubble if you'd like to support in a smaller monetary way. I love you very, very much. I will be seeing you next week. Maybe by voice, maybe by video. I'm not quite sure. I have to wait to hear back from what the computer guys say. Either way, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I love you very much, and I'll be seeing you very, very soon. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.